Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Instructs the Prachetas, text number 16. Etat padam tat jagadatmana param.
Etat padam tat jagadatmana param.
Sakrit vipatam saviturita prabha.
Sakrit vipatam saviturita prabha.
Yata savo jagrati supta shaktayo.
Yata savo jagrati.
Jagadatmana param.
Jagadatmana param.
Sakrit vipatam saviturita prabha.
Sakrit vipatam saviturita prabha.
Yatha savo jagrati supta shaktayo.
Yatha savo jagrati supta shaktayo.
Tavya kriya jnana vida pramatyaya. Etat.
This cosmic manifestation.
Padam.
Place of habitation.
Tat.
That.
Jagadatmanaha.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Param.
Transcendental.
Sakrit.
Sometimes.
Vibhātam.
Manifested.
Savituhu.
Of the sun.
Yata.
As.
Prabha.
Sunshine.
Yata.
As.
Asavaha.
The senses.
Jagrati.
Become manifest.
Shukta.
Inactive.
Shaktayaha.
Energies.
Dravya.
Physical elements.
Kriya.
Activities.
Jnana.
Knowledge.
Veda
Brahma.
Differences from misunderstanding.
Adyayaha.
Passing away.
Just as the sunshine is non-different from the sun,
the cosmic manifestation is also non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality is therefore all-pervasive within this material creation.
When the senses are active, they appear to be part and parcel of the body, but when the body is asleep, their activities are unmanifest.
Similarly, the whole cosmic creation appears different and yet non-different from the Supreme Person.
Purport.
This confirms the philosophy of Acitya Bheda Bheda Tattva,
simultaneously one and different,
propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is simultaneously different and non-different from this cosmic manifestation.
In a previous verse, it has been explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the root of a tree, is the original cause of everything. It was also explained how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive. He is present within everything in this material manifestation. Since the energy of the Supreme Lord is non-different from him, this material cosmic manifestation is also non-different from him, although it appears different. The sunshine is not different from the sun itself, but it is simultaneously also different. One may be in the sunshine, but he is not on the sun itself. Those who live in this material world are living on the bodily rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they cannot see him personally in the material condition. In this verse, the word Padam indicates the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. Eta Padam. As confirmed in Isopanishad, Isavasyam Idam Sarvam, the proprietor of the house may live in one room of the house, but the entire house belongs to him. A king may live in one room in Buckingham Palace, but the entire palace is considered his property. It is not necessary for the king to live in every room of that palace for it to be his. He may be physically absent from the rooms, but still the entire palace is understood to be his royal domicile. The sunshine is light, the sun god itself is light, and the sun god is also light. However, the sunshine is not identical with the sun god, Vivasvan. This is the meaning of simultaneously one and different. Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. All the planets rest on the sunshine, and because of the heat of the sun, they all revolve in their orbits. On each and every planet, the trees and plants grow and change colours due to the sunshine. Being the rays of the sunshine is not different from the sun. Similarly, all the planets resting on the sunshine are non-different from the sun. The entire material world is completely dependent on the sun, being produced by the sun, and the cause, the sun, is inherent in the effects. Similarly, Krishna is the cause of all causes, and the effects are permeated by the original cause. The entire cosmic manifestation should be understood as the expanded energy of the Supreme Lord. When one sleeps, the senses are inactive, but this does not mean that the senses are absent. When one is awakened, the senses become active again. Similarly, this cosmic creation is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Budva, Budva, Praliyate. When the cosmic manifestation is dissolved, it is in a kind of sleeping condition, an inactive state. Whether the cosmic manifestation is active or inactive, the energy of the Supreme Lord is always existing. Thus the words appearance and disappearance apply only to the cosmic manifestation. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Sadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stahapitam Jena Bhutale Tvaya Rupa Kadamaya Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vatsalam pangum nangayate gadim yat kripa tamaham bande Sri Gurum Dinatanam.
Eta padam tajjavidatmana param. So Prabhupada comments here that in a previous verse it's explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama, Krishna, is the original cause of everything, like the root of a tree. I'm going to test my blood pressure. Here? So, the original cause or the source of everything. A tree stands on its roots. It's the basis, the foundation. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, you know, if you want to nourish the tree, you water the root. It's the basis for the whole substance or being of the tree. And in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the material world like a tree. Not like a tree that you would ordinarily see in the material world, where the roots are the basis, or at least at the bottom, the foundation. But the material world is the spiritual world upside down, right? And so Krishna gives the example, Prabhupada gives the example of a tree reflected in a body of water. And so it's a reflection of the real tree. But the cause is still, again, the root, right? The source. And so the source of everything is described here and in other places, Prabhupada describes, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, second concept to be absorbed is that he's all-pervasive. He's within everything. Which is an interesting concept, because we're encouraged to understand and to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person. Yet if he's all spread everywhere, how can he be a person and also be spread everywhere in everything and still maintain his personality? Of course, he easily does that by being present in the form of the Paramatma, the Super Soul, right? Ishvaraha Parama, Ishvaraha Sabhabhutanam Ride Sarjuna Tishtati Ramaya Sabhabhutanam Yantra Rudani Mayaya. So, he's the root or the source of everything, and he's all pervasive. Right? And if he's all pervasive, that's how he knows everything. Just like we are present within this body. Krishna is described as being Vishvatma, the soul of the universe. And we're the soul of this body, and the universal form is kind of like a body, if you like. And he's present
within that universal form, and because of his all-pervasiveness, he knows everything. And we can understand or appreciate how that is done simply by meditating or reflecting on our presence within this body and how we're conscious or aware of the things that are going on within this body. Because we're not aware of everything that goes on. Well, we become aware of things when they start going wrong. Right? Otherwise, we're not really conscious of it. But you get. Because the spirit soul is present within the body, then the body works. It goes, it functions. And we, as the spirit soul within the body, are conscious of what's going on within the body, the gross, the subtle, and of course, then the spiritual. Without the spiritual, what have we got? Nothing. Dead body. Right? That's the most important. The most important element of the body is the spirit soul. You can have a stillborn child with everything perfect, with all the digits, all of the limbs, all of the organs, but without the presence of the soul, what have you got? It's just dull, dead, dull matter. And despite chemicals or stimulation or electricity or whatever, you can't get it to go. And so that the conscious consciousness is a symptom of the living entity's presence and within the body, and the awareness of what's going on within the body. So similarly, Krishna exists within the universal manifestation, within the universe, in his all-pervasive aspect, and is able to understand what's going on within everything. Which is inconceivable for us, because that's just mind-boggling. How does he do that? A teacher. So, he is present within everything in this material manifestation and is conscious of it. That's the beginning of the Bhagavatam, pretty much, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam. Jamadhyasya yataha. That Krishna is the source of everything. And as the source of everything, he is within everything. But the interesting thing is that actually, and he mentions this himself, I am within everything, but I'm not in everything. Right? Ooh, this is a bit of a puzzle. It's contradictory, although it's not. It's not contradictory at all. We may not be able to perceive him within everything. And so therefore, is not present here. He is present within everything in this material manifestation. Since the energy of the Supreme Lord is non-different from him, this material cosmic manifestation is also non-different from him. Although it appears different, it's his external manifestation of the material energy. And because it is a separated form of the Lord, it appears, at least to the conditioned souls, as being not connected. You know, in our state of illusion, or in our state of Maya, when we look at the material energy, because of the influence of the material energy and because of our desires to want to enjoy it, it appears to be separate from him and disconnected. But a pure devotee, or any devotee for that matter, with a proper understanding and receiving proper instructions, can perceive through, and you know, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the heat and the light of the sun. We're talking about the sun, right? I am the taste in water. I am the ability in man. If one has the proper eyes, the transcendental eyes, one can see Krishna's presence within everything by recognizing the symptoms of his presence. So those with a covering, the material covering of ignorance, are unable to see Krishna's presence within everything. That was Hiranyakashipu's challenge to Prahlad. Where is your God? He's everywhere. Well, is he in this pillar? Huh? And then to show his supremacy, he wanted to smash the pillar, right? Much to his surprise. Ta-da! Lord Shringadev appeared. Huh? So the vision of a devotee is that Krishna is within everything, even within his separated material energy. The material energy places a covering over the vision of the conditioned soul, so that it's very difficult to perceive the presence of the Lord, but in a purified state of consciousness. Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, following the recommendations of the Lord, especially those instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, the taste of water. So it is possible to perceive the presence of the Lord in the subtler aspects of the material energy, and so thereby appreciate the workings of the Lord. You know, when I was 18, 19, 20, and I was looking for the devotees, actually, I used to think, because, you know, there was a philosophy, I guess there still is a philosophy, that God is dead. Right? And you know, this philosophy became very prominent, especially after World War I and World War II. And I saw it in my mother because, you know, my mum and dad used to go to church every Sunday. They used to drag me and my brothers to church, and we hated it. Kind of hate. I never liked being told what to do. Especially going to church, and it was boring. Quite boring. But my parents were very, you know, dedicated to the church. And but then after some time, as my parents got older, I noticed they weren't going to church anymore, right? And I said to my mum, "Well, why are you going to church?" And my mother said, worse to the effect, you know, it's hard to believe in God when there's so many bad things happening, right? And this became very prominent especially after World War I, World War II, because so many pious people suffered, you know, interminably. And so then they're thinking, you know, we're suffering so much, we pray to God, we believe in God, we believe that God will protect us, and then we suffer. So what's the point of believing in God? Huh? Too hard to believe in God when he's the cause of everything, so he must be the cause of my suffering. That's the logic, isn't it? Yeah. And that then brings about a lack of, a loss of, because there's no understanding of why we're suffering, or there's the inability to accept responsibility for the reactions that we're getting. You know, I can't be that bad that I have to suffer so much, right? Whereas, you know, the mood of a devotee is, I should suffer more. With an understanding of, yes, I have a responsibility for the suffering that I experience, but, you know, this was a common philosophy when I was a teenager, that God was there. If you believed in God, which I did, even though I found church boring, I still believe, I had this inherent understand, or this belief that God existed. You know, there was a purpose in life. This is not, and I used to see the sun come up, the stars all moving around, the seasons moving, and I think there's order. You know, there's a lot of chaos in life, right? There's also order and structure, and within that order and structure, I perceived a purpose. There must be a purpose, right? If everything's moving according to a plan, even Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, we should work. This is, Prabhupada says, this is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, is to work out what life is for and what its purpose is and what your plan should be in life. Right? We should have a plan. Even Prabhupada mentions in that paragraph, we should know what the mission of life is. Right? You know, in strategic planning, you work out what your mission is, right? And your vision. And so this is what Krishna recommends, or Prabhupada certainly recommends. You should know what the purpose of life is. And that God has a purpose. You know, I was seeing everything moving, and of course, that meant to me that behind everything there must be a creator. There must be a person behind everything. Right? Can't see him. Or in those days, I didn't think of him as a him. I thought him as in the all-pervasive aspect. That was my understanding of God. All-pervading energy. So, the pious, even though there may be much suffering, the pious, the actually pious, don't lose their faith in God and God's purpose. They're able to see that the sufferings are brought about, certainly, yes, the Lord is in charge of everything and he's directing the wanderings of all of the living entities and he's meting out the punishments. Right? But there's a purpose. There's a purpose to those difficulties or those struggles. And that those difficulties come about as a consequence of the activities. And so therefore, I mentioned this to my mum. I said, no, it's not God's fault that there's problems. It's what we do. It's our desires. And the actions that are prompted from those desires that cause the reactions. God doesn't want to see us suffer. We suffer as a consequence of our ignorance and doing things that are not healthy for us or healthy for others. But that's a very, you know, that's a... That's a deeper understanding of, it's a deeper vision of what's actually going on. And so the devotees, with a, and so when I met the devotees, they confirmed these. You know, I when I saw the Hare Krishnas, I was scared of the devotees because they did weird things. You know, I remember talking to the devotees and I'd see the tilak on their body. I think, what's that? What's that? we put clay, we put the markings of Vishnu on our body. This is, you know, for a materialistic Westerner's point of view, you say, what is that? So strange. Which is also a challenge, right? There's many challenges to overcome in associated with the devotees, because they do weird things. Well, not until you become familiar with what they're doing, then you realise that it's not so weird after all. But for those in ignorance, it's weird. That's not that those things are weird, actually, it's just that you're in ignorance. So, but the devotees were able to dispel my ignorance and also confirm my suspicions. There is a purpose to life, that the material creation is meant for a purpose, that this life is meant for a purpose. This thing to finish, otherwise it's just strangling my arm. And when you get your blood pressure tested, oh, there it goes again. Hang on, let me just relax. When it relaxes, then I can relax. I'll just go. It was a relief to be with the devotees, and they explained how God was in everything as a super soul. Yeah, how does he do it? How is God within everything? This information is not immediately available. Right? It's not common knowledge that God is present within everything as a super soul. This is why Prabhupada's books are so important, why book distribution is so important. It's because this knowledge is essential to understand one's purpose in life and to make a plan, right? It's essential, this kind of information that we have studied. We study it every day. And so we're associating with this knowledge and we take it for granted. But most people don't understand this point, that God is within everything, that he's all-pervading and that he knows as a consequence because of his character and his personality. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're doing. And he knows what you should be doing. He keeps track of what you shouldn't be doing. And as a consequence, you have to suffer. Right? So, but at the same time, because the material energy is the law of separated energy, even though it comes from him, it's non-different from him, and he's all pervasive within that energy, still it appears as different from him. Well, this is the potency of the material energy, and it's avranatmika and prakshepakmika shakti, right? It has the covering potency. So even though the spiritual energy is the life force that makes everything go, at the same time, the material energy covers us over so we can't see it. Right? We can't see it. And for the devotees who are conscious of the fact that The spiritual energy is all-pervading within everything and is the source of everything. And the purpose of life is to reconnect. And that's the process of Satna Bhakti. There's that Prakshepamika. Is that right? It's the pulling down potency. There's the covering potency and the pulling down potency. Oh, Daivihi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Taratara. Working under Krishna's direction. His energy, his material energy. So, this is an important point. The sunshine is not different from the sun itself, but it is simultaneously also different. Right? So, you know, in at this time of the year, in my room at home, it's very, very pleasant at about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because on a clear day, the sun shines into my room. Right? And so, you know, we say, oh, the sun is in the room. But, you know, it's not in the room. The sun is not in the room. If the sun was in the room, it would be. So, you know, in this way we identify the sunshine with the sun itself. The sun is the source. But when the sun's shining, and of course it's very pleasant because it starts to warm up. And of course at the moment, you know, it can be pretty cold. Did you see the pictures of the snow at the farm?
What?
Snow at Bamber.
Yeah.
It was snowing. Yes, not yesterday, the day before. Yeah. Want to go down and check it out? You can't ski on it, it's not. It lands on the ground. But no, there were pictures of Bamber itself, of snow on the ground, on the trees. It's a great. And Manikuva told me about three times. He's lived there for 12 years, about three times it's snowed. So, it can be quite cold. So when the sun's shining into your room, you feel invigorated. It's like, oh, spring is almost here. So, the sun and the sunshine are non-different. Right? But at the same time, also different. If the sun was actually in the room, then it would be finished. So there's in this way, in this meditation, we can appreciate how Krishna is within everything in the form of his expanded energies, but at the same time, he's also different from it, separated from it. In the spiritual world, what is it? Ekadesha, Ekadesha, Stitas Jange, Vistarini Yata Dehe. I can't remember that verse exactly. But the example is given of Lord Vishnu is like the fire in the fireplace of a room. Right? And the fire exists all throughout the room in the form of its energy, heat and light, right? At this time of the year, it's also nice to go into a room where there's a fire because it's so cold. And even though the fire is in the fireplace, we appreciate the presence of the fire all throughout the room, in the form of the heat and light, right? So this way we can appreciate how Krishna is the source of everything and how the material energy is a manifestation of his presence, even though his presence is in the spiritual world. Or, you know, we can appreciate the heat and light of the fire, even though the fire is situated in the fireplace. You don't want it to be anywhere else but in the fireplace. And Prabhupada gives this example here also. The word padam indicates the place where the Lord resides. And so Prabhupada gives the example of how the proprietor, and who does Prabhupada refer to as the proprietor? And where does he live? It's a, from the purport.
Padam.
Yes, Padam. But who does he refer to? And which room?
The king.
Which? The king. And where does the king live?
The palace.
Which palace?
Buckingham
Palace. Yeah. Buckingham Palace. Right. Now, when Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavatam, wrote this section of the Bhagavatam, was Queen Elizabeth the queen, or was the king still the king, King George the Fifth? And for most of Prabhupada's life, right, it would have been the king, right? Not the queen. When you think about it. In fact, you know, you see there's that picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur attending the king's birthday, I think it is, celebration. So anyway, Prabhupada refers to the king, King George, obviously, not the queen. The king may live in one portion of the palace, just like the fire may be in the fireplace, or the Lord may be in Vaikuntha, but he still owns the whole palace. Right? And he knows what's going on in the whole palace. Right? How does the king know what's going on in the whole palace?
He has
the servants. In this day and age, CCTV. Right? All pervading. Well, actually, he doesn't look in all the rooms. He has his security guards. Right? You know, one time the devotees used to sell paintings. Right? They were in London, so they thought they would go to see the Queen. To see if they could sell us some paintings. So they drove up to the gate, said they wanted to see the Queen, because the guys at the gate said, "Tick off, you get out of here, you fellas." Which proves the point, you know, if you want to see a big person, then you have to make sure you've got an appointment. Have you got an appointment? No, we just thought we'd pop in and get out of here, you guys. You might be able to do that, you know, walking around the streets of Bran or, you know, Strathmore or Glenroy. You can turn up and see somebody without an appointment, but not the Queen nor the King. So the King knows. He has his security guards. So he has his representatives and he knows what's going on everywhere, just as Krishna knows what's going on everywhere. So, Prabhupada gives the example. He may be physically absent from the rooms, but still, the entire palace is understood to be his royal domicile. So this is this concept of achintya bheda abheda tattva, simultaneously one but also different, is the unique understanding of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and it's a unique way of observing the material world and being able to appreciate God is within everything, but at the same time he's separate from it. How is he present? Through his energies, right? And that way then he's aware of everything that's going on. He's the root of everything, as described previously. He's all pervasive, and that way then he's able to understand everything that's going on within the whole creation. And so this is a meditation. Very often these instructions or these prayers, just like in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's the prayers of the demigods for Krishna in the womb of Devaki. And the prayers of the demigods are an explication of all of these characteristics, all of these features of Krishna. And so for us, it's a meditation. How Krishna is separate from everything, but at the same time, non-different from it. And how he does that. It's a daily, why the Bhagavatam is so important, because very often the verse of the Bhagavatam sets the meditation for the devotees in their daily activities. They still keep a meditation on how Krishna is all-pervading and how he's aware of everything as the Vishvatma, the soul of the whole creation. And so that gives the devotees then a deep appreciation and understanding, which is lacking. This understanding is lacking in so many people. And why there's a deep state of ignorance in the general populace is because every day they absorb themselves in, the news, Facebook, YouTube, The Age, ABC, whatever. But all it is the external energy. It's just the external energy. Okay, Krishna's within it, but they can't see it. By being absorbed in these external features of the material energy, they become completely bewildered and very despondent, very discouraged. Especially at the moment, you know, a lot of mental health. People have mental health issues because of all the restrictions that are being placed on them. So we have people who are calling themselves sovereign citizens. In other words, your rules and regulations, your laws, they don't apply to me. I can do what I like. No? And so therefore they then get in trouble. And it's kind of like, this is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Somebody was talking about this the other day. Was it in class?
Yeah.
Who was that? Madhavananda? No. Anyway, someone's talking, the Karma Mimamsa means, I can do what I like and I'll be successful, right? But of course, we all know you can do what you like, but you may not be successful. You may find yourself in a lot of trouble. And that's what's happening at the moment. People are trying to defy the powers that be and try to transcend or overcome the material energy, but they're not able to. Material energy is too powerful, too strong. And they lack that transcendental vision and that internal workings of the material energy and a proper understanding of behind everything is Krishna. Right? And we see that in the activities of the devotees, actually. How the devotees are able to perceive the Lord's presence within everything. And because they're focused on working for the Lord's purpose, they're able to do amazing things that ordinary people just couldn't do, couldn't even perceive or attempt. Because they have a transcendental vision and because they understand the purpose, the mission. And that the mission is to work on Krishna's behalf. Right? And that Krishna has a plan. And the devotees understand that plan and are working accordingly. And so therefore, even though they're working within the material energy, they're actually working under the protection of the spiritual energy. This is why we pray, you know, we pray every morning, every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please protect me. Right? That's what we pray. And because of that, then, even though the devotees appear to be working in the material world, actually they're not. They're connected to Krishna. And they're actually working under the protection of the internal or the spiritual potency, not the material energy. Working with the material energy. But because they know or are aware of its connection to Krishna, and they connect it to the Lord's purposes, to the Lord's service, then they're successful in utilization of that energy, and it doesn't cover them, but it's actually a source of self-realization, of understanding. I remember we used to distribute books, but a lot of times selling just paraphernalia, candles, paintings, whatever, and it was hard work. We'd leave the temple at 9:15, 9:30, and by 10:30 we'd be Clayton, Springvale, wherever, shopping centre, and we'd be doing door to door, shop to shop, and we didn't have lunch. So, you know, by 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just ravenous, hungry. And we'd finish at about 5 o'clock, half past 4 or 5 o'clock, and drive home. And I never forget, you know, get in the back gate, we drive down Little Page Street. And then in the back gate, and you take your wig off. That was a relief. That was a relief. But then just being in the temple was just like Vaikuntha, you know, all anxieties and all worries and all tension just gone. And you might have collected, I don't know, $200-$300. That's what we used to do in the day, $200-$300. And I used to think about this. Before I became a devotee, $200-$300 was a substantial amount of money. And I wouldn't give it to, if I made $200-$300, I wouldn't be giving it to anybody, right? But then the guy upstairs to the treasury, write out our score and just hand it all over. Just give it to Krishna. And it just gave such a transcendental pleasure. Huh? This is where the devotees get pleasure. We get pleasure in working hard for Krishna. We get some money. And usually people work so hard to get money and then we just give it to Krishna. Huh? And we're happy. The feeling of satisfaction and relief and that transcendental pleasure of just working for Krishna. There's no rasa in the material world that matches that feeling of satisfaction that comes from knowing that one has a relationship with Krishna, and that in working in that relationship, one satisfies oneself, one satisfies the Lord. In fact, because we're satisfying the Lord, then we also become satisfied. And you know, that's a confirmation of the fact that we're connected to Krishna, that the material energy is connected to Krishna, and that if you use the self and the material energy in the service of the Lord, because ultimately it belongs to Him anyway, it is His, which is, you know, what's being explained here. With that proper understanding of what things are, who one belongs to, who one is, brings a great deal of peace and what is it? Gatva mam shanta rishyati, right? Those who know these things become peaceful. And that's what was attractive about the devotees. When I met the devotees, I noticed that they were very peaceful. I wanted to be like that, even though they had mud on their... they did weird stuff. The devotees are very attractive because they're peaceful. They understand their relationship with the Lord, and they act in that relationship, and as a consequence then they're very happy. Susukam katam avyayam. You know, when you're working for Krishna, as giving everything, it's called yajna, basically sacrifice, right? And sacrifice has consequences, and one of them is you become happy. Chan Hare Krishna, become happy. That's the greatest sacrifice, at least in this day and age, is the Chan Hare Krishna. But of course, by chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes aware more and more of the relationship that we have and the protection that we get from that service. So the devotees immerse themselves on a daily basis early in the morning on this proper understanding of things, whereas those who aren't under the protection of that divine energy, which is within the material energy, they just get affected by the material energy, and as a consequence, with the material consciousness, they're subject to the vagaries of material existence. So this is good fortune for us that we're able to absorb ourselves in this understanding of how everything is connected to Krishna. We may not see it all the time, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And if we work with faith in that understanding, then it's revealed. Like Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, one shouldn't be attached to self-realization or to a lack of self-realization. One goes on performing one's duty or one's service, and gradually that realization is revealed. But sometimes it may not be, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's just not present at that point in time, and that's also mentioned here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Madhu, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, I have a question.
Two questions. Okay, try. Give me one first.
I was trying to understand the concept of Achintya
Vera Vera Tato. What was the first bit?
The concept of Achintya Vera Vera Tato.
The concept?
Yeah.
Yes.
In the sense that for us, according to our level of consciousness or awakening, Achintya Vera Vera Tato can be one different from those who are perhaps advanced level of understanding. And from Krishna, or for Krishna's perspective, that exists Achintya Vera Vera Tato according to his nature.
Hmm. I didn't hear everything. I didn't hear clearly what you said. Can you repeat that last bit again? Something about Krishna's perspective on things?
Yeah, and the conditional liberated perspective.
The
conditioned living entity.
Oh, the conditioned living entity's perspective.
Yeah.
Well, Krishna doesn't see anything separated from himself, because it's all Krishna, right? And Krishna's not subject to the influence of the material energy. And so, that perspective is that separatedness, if you like, is and that lack of connection to Krishna is something that only the conditioned soul can appreciate. But it is interesting, you know, in Krishna's Leela or in his pastimes, we see sometimes it appears that he forgets who he is. Right? So he also is subject to Maya. Right? This is Maya. That means accepting that which is not as real. Right? Which is what the material energy does to the conditioned soul. But we see sometimes also Krishna, like there's the example of Krishna being upset when he saw, what was the name of that demon he was flying? What was his name? No, he had an airship, and he showed an image.
Tripurasura,
yeah, and he produced an image of a vision of him beheading Krishna's father, right? And Krishna was upset naturally. You would be upset by that image, right? But it wasn't. It was an apparition. It was just a. It wasn't real. But Krishna was influenced by that, right? And so, you know, we see sometimes in Krishna Leela, under the influence of the internal energy, he appears also to be in illusion, or he forgets who he is, right? But that's what he's that's part of his pastimes, and it's part of his enjoyment. He doesn't suffer as a result of those circumstances, and it's not the influence of the material energy, but rather it's for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. So. Answers your question or not, but it's something that comes to mind.
Yeah, one way in the sense that, as you mentioned, in the kind of in the spiritual world, they exist in a different plan, in a different way, the same energy that exists in the material world, but for a conditional living entities.
Yes, we're bewildered and illusioned by the material energy, and we suffer the consequences as such. Whereas Krishna, under the influence of the spiritual energy, doesn't suffer any material consequences at all. Dvija?
I was looking at the Barber, please, like if you could explain, please. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says the cause is inherent in the effects. What does it mean?
question. And I think the key to the answer is in the preceding sentences. Which paragraph is it?
Second last. It's towards the end of the paragraph.
The entire material world is completely dependent on the sun, being produced by the sun. And the cause, the sun, is inherent in the effects. So what that means is that, here's what I thought of when I read this. Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that if you want to know, and this is a somewhat tangential answer, I know, but something to meditate on. If you want to know the features and the characteristics of God, then you meditate on yourself. Now, why is that? Right? If God is the source of everything, then all of the features that we find within the creation of God must also be within Him. Right? Must be. Because otherwise, how can something have qualities or characteristics that God doesn't have? Does that make sense? Yeah. Makes sense to us. The way does it make sense to for other people? It's like, ooh. Right? That's too far out. Right. So the characteristics of the sun must be in the sun's creation. That's really what's being said here, isn't it? The cause, the sun, is inherent in the effects. So if God is the source of everything, then whatever we find in the creation must have its source in God. And so, you know, the example is given in the Bhagavad Gita of the material creation being a reflection of the spiritual world. And so the material world has the features and characteristics of the spiritual world, but in a perverted way, in a reflected way. Right? Just like you can look at yourself in a mirror and think, oh, how handsome am I? Right? But try to interact with that person in the mirror. No? You can't. Cold, one dimensional. You can't. Right? But the form. Right? Even the personality, when you smile, you can see the smile in the mirror. Right? Well, when I was very young, 3 or 4 years, you know, 2 or 3 or 4, we would go to Adelaide. We were living in the country. We would go to Adelaide in the holidays and stay with my grandma or my aunt. And we'd go shopping at David Jones or Meyer. We're in Meyer. wherever we were. And but in, I think it was David Jones in Adelaide, they had near the doors of the lifts, you know, there'd be lifts to go up and down, and there'd be these mirrors. And they were, the mirrors were, when you stand in front of the mirrors, they would bend your shape, right? And so, depending on where you stood, you'd be really tall, or you'd be really short, or whatever. But it's an illusion. You've got the personality, but when you go and try to interact, it's completely different. So the material energy is described is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And so therefore, we can understand that the characteristics and the qualities and the features of the spiritual realm are also manifest in the material. So what we see in the material realm is also in the spiritual world. Because the spiritual world is its source. So the cause is inherent in the effects. That's a way to look at it. And so, you know, we can see in the sun planet, there must also be temples. And there must also be devotees. Because it's here now, and if everything rests on the sun, as Prabhupada says, then that means that what we're experiencing here must also be in the sun planet. How does that sound? And Prabhupada says the entire material world is completely dependent on the sun. This is the Vedic conception, right? The sun is the center, or the, no, not the center, the source of everything. Everything rests on the sun rays. It's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. What's the verse? You know the verse? Loudly. I don't know. No, I don't know. I can't remember. But that's really, you know, something chakra. I remember the verse ends with chakra, you know, the sun. So here, the entire material world is completely dependent on the sun. And that's important here. Sakrit vibhatam savitur yata prabha, right? Savitur is the sun, and prabha is the energy, the heat and the light. And so everything rests on this energy. And without the sun, you know, where would we be without the sun? It'd be snowing, like in Bambara. It'd be cold, 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 freezing cold. Okay. This is a nice section. Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Kijai.